You are listening to the Any Anime Podcast.
We get a night edition of the AAP. And Tanner, when you explain to people that you're on a podcast and you call it the AAP, what are people's first guesses for
the astoundingly advanced professionals?
And you know what? That is a pretty good podcast name. I would like to write that down, but alas, we are not the astoundingly advanced professionals. We are the Any Anime Podcast, bringing you the freshest, what are other words? Most hippity hoppiest, dopest. Give me more slang.
Most radical.
Radical, yeah.
Tubular. Gnarliest.
What did Kate say? Wizardly?
Wizard.
Oh, I thought I misheard you. To be honest.
Throwing it back to the 90s listeners.
Oh, boy. I'm super unaware of anything being described as wizard.
Yeah, dude, that's a wizard.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow.
That's an old one.
Hey, kudos to you, man. Am I not older than you?
You are.
I haven't even heard of that. No, I got nothing. I'm not really a 90s kid, you know.
More of a 2000s guy.
Yeah. I honestly don't even... Look, this is how young I am, all right? I don't remember 9/11.
Don't remember 9/11.
I was old enough to have cognitive... I have other, like, memories from being, like, 3 or 4. But not that.
Google. Wizard is British slang.
Oh.
Popularized by the movie Juno.
Juno?
Popularized in modern slang by the movie
Juno. No, yeah. But it's always existed as British slang.
I don't know how old it is in British slang, but it originated in England.
Bro, King Arthur, man. That goes all the way back.
Oh, dear. That is quite wizard.
yes, indeed, Arthur, yes.
doth he go, wizardly.
Boys, as much as I love slang, all right, we're here to actually talk about the anime, all right? This week's mid-season review has the shows Sasaki and Peeps, The Unwanted Undead Adventure, Seventh Time Loop, and Solo Leveling. Now, Tanner, I need you to level with me.
Yes.
Did you end up watching Solo Leveling?
Yes.
Did you end up watching Seventh Time Loop with your mom, like I suggested?
No.
Okay. Look, I feel like that started as a real laugh. And then you brought it back. Okay. What were you going to say?
So here's the thing. Mm. I don't trust anime.
Fair.
Be a watch with parents
thing. That's very, very fair.
I understand that. And my memory tells me, hey, Seventh Time Loop isn't that bad, etchy-wise, you know.
Okay.
Or sound-wise.
Are you talking about isn't that bad for anime or in general?
I don't think it had any ecchi, to be honest. But here's the thing. I've 100% have recommended someone who was like, I just hate when anime just like over-sexualized people. Who are like, oh, you know what I said? I said you should watch My Hero. Because I couldn't remember that there's like a bunch of sexualization of characters in that show. Thanks in no part to the small little grape brush pervert guy.
Grape right. Boy, yeah.
Grape boy.
Mineta.
And even excluding him, you got like Midnight. You could say Mount Lady. All right. It was quite voluptuous.
The one girl from the other school who has like the sort of shapeshifty ability.
Mm-hmm. I forget, what did she say? She was like, I got to the part where they like gave Yayorozu her costume and I said, nah. Like, fair. Fair. Yeah. Hey, it just washes over, you know. I don't even like register it anymore.
That's true. You know, you gain a whole different perspective of what's acceptable.
Boys, it is a late podcast for us. If you're listening, you're listening to it at whatever time you fucking do it. I usually re-listen to our podcasts in the morning. But that does mean your boy's on a sleep schedule, and he's already running. The conductor's already running late. So let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and jump right into. We'll go from the bottom up. So we'll start with Sasaki and Peeps. Now, for clarification, we did just watch the first episode because it is 3 episodes length. Like, you know, back to back to back. So, you know, we're basing it off that instead of the usual 3 episode watch. You know, Cade.
Yes.
I believe you and I are the only ones who've watched it. What were your thoughts?
For Sasaki and Peeps?
Sasaki and Peeps.
Let me pull out my little notebook.
Ooh, the little notepad.
From what I remember, I am not looking forward to what it seems to be gonna like what it's like leading up to, because this anime is very clear that it does not have the biggest budget, which is fine for what it seemed to be in the very beginning, which was just a regular old slice of life. But then towards the end of, you know, the single episode that we watched, it turns into this. It turns into an anime that it's leaning towards action. All of the prerequisites are there. We haven't had an action scene, but it's definitely there, you know? Mm-hmm. And so an action anime without budget is always going to be a little rough, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little worried. It made me smile a couple times. I don't remember exactly when, but, you know, there were a couple times where I was like, oh, that's funny. The main character is likable. He's not an asshole or anything like that. He's just a very chill dude. And the concept is enjoyable, you know, like I do enjoy the whole, you know, it's just this guy trying to do his best to just, you know, fit in society, in his place in society, be a cog in the machine. He's satisfied with that, you know, but all of a sudden, you know, things are starting to go in a different direction. He's having to try to, you know, adjust, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
I like the concept, but I'm scared of its future, you know?
Yeah. So I was initially skeptical given our reading of the season preview. And I would say from those expectations, I was pleasantly surprised. It's refreshing to have a not high schooler as the main character. He, like you said, he's happy to be a cog in the machine, but he admits that, like, yo, I don't have money to like eat out with my coworkers, you know, and he's not exactly living his best life, admittedly. And so he makes a really impulse decision to buy a bird, which happens to be a sorcerer from another world, and he starts leading this double life where he starts selling goods from his world into the other world, the fantasy world, because they don't have the capability of making, you know, things like binoculars.
Which is, I mean, all of that, like, would be the perfect fantasy slice of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say isekai because it's not really, you know?
Right.
But, you know, like, just leave it at that if you're going to do a slice of life. But I think, and what you're about to say, you know, is where things take a turn when, you know, in his world, he sees someone being attacked by a magic user and saves her, only to find out that there's an entire organization that's been hidden from the public view of people who can use magic in his world.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's turned into this whole, you know, he's having to adjust to this new life because obviously he can't go back to his old life knowing what he knows now. And he's gonna getting dragged around by this very aggressive woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a workaholic, is what I think was what they said.
Yeah.
And he's obviously not that. He's very much just like, I just want to be mediocre. I just want to, you know, do my job, go home, kind of thing. So, yeah.
I like the premise that they're setting up. I just don't know if there can be a follow through, you know.
Exactly.
The only little bit of action is when he rescues her. And that scene's not animated like poorly or anything, but it's not like impressive either.
Exactly.
And it's just for 5 seconds. I think I like it though. I like the, like, he's leading this double life as like basically a government secret agent against, so they call him psychics in his world instead of like magic users. And then also he still wants to be a merchant in the other world. So I really, like, surprisingly enjoyed the concept. There's not enough proof of there's not enough proof in the pudding with this one episode. This is one that I think you're right. It is setting up to be a fantasy action anime, I think. Oh, and then you remember they kind of show that that his neighbor is like a yandere of some sort. Did you catch that, kid?
The neighbor girl?
The neighbor Absolutely. Girl, yeah. And I was like, what a surprising and I think unnecessary twist.
I'm sure it'll come into play later, but also, maybe. Yes, it was like, that kind of,
I mean,
it feels unnatural.
I feel like they're going to reveal that she has psychic powers too, but.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. But hey, don't get me wrong. I love a yandere. All right. She's all right in my books, but I just don't know if she belongs in this story at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just so happens she only kind of revealed herself to be a yandere because of the woman. But I didn't rewatch the episode or anything, but like, was the woman there with him at his apartment?
Yes,
she
but
definitely wasn't at the door.
No, she wasn't at the door, but she was like on the street.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And like outside of the car. So
yeah,
while there wasn't like an obvious, hey, your neighbor the yandere sees you talking to the girl.
Right.
It's kind of like implied, I guess.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, yeah, super interesting. I would say at the very least, if you are at all curious, I think it is worth checking out. However, Kate, do you think this is a pass or fail?
This is hard. Because I don't want to pass it based on what I've watched.
Mm.
But the way that we did it was kind of wrong.
Oh,
we didn't really.
Oh,
give
you
it
think
three.
You think we needed to give it a couple more episodes?
I think so.
Oh,
I feel like we kind of cheated a little bit because it really lined up. The first episode, I think, set up everything to come.
Right,
and they took the time to do that. They made it an hour long. Right?
Yes,
so. I feel like it's unfair for us to judge it based on one episode because that's essentially what it is, you know?
Yeah. And I'll give it credit. I'll give it credit. It wasn't a slow hour, you know? It felt pretty well paced too.
It did. Yeah.
So how about this, Kate? How about this? We put a pin in it. We come back next week. We'll report on episode 2 and 3 and we'll make our final verdict there.
I agree. I like that. Because I don't know how I felt about. I need more information. I need to know if it's gonna be able to put in the effort in the action area.
Yeah,
or maybe somehow it steers completely away from that. I don't know, but I need to find out. So
it kind of reminds me of when we passed Home Hero. It's like it's a good concept. You know, it's not like impressive in the animation, but can like the narrative be intriguing enough to like keep us there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm very down with that. Sasaki and Peeps, putting a pin in it. You'll get your result next week, pass or fail. All right, moving on. The Unwanted Undead Adventurer by Studio Connect. Now, can I just start off? I just want to make one point. Skeleton CG. I get it. I get why he had to use it. It was good in some places. It was really uncanny in others. I'm not going to lie.
That was definitely... my only con was just CG.
Yeah.
Sorry. And then the other one that I had was it's just, you know, pretty generic fantasy, you know? And I think I'm tiring out of that, you know. I need a little bit of mix up, you know. It can't just be the regular old stuff. But I also did have it in the prose area that the 3D doesn't last too long.
No.
The main character isn't CG'd for very long, and
like one and a half episodes, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. And then, like, some of the enemies will be CG'd, but those only last maybe a minute or so. You know, each little CG area.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Yes, the CG is always going to be bad. No, anime CG is just, it needs more time in the oven, that's for sure. But I am happy that they didn't overdo it, you know?
Sure.
And my only other note on this is that I thought the dragon design was very unique. And I actually really appreciated the imagination put into it.
Yeah, I wrote down biblically accurate dragon.
Yeah.
Like that's the level of design that it kind of had.
It did. It was actually really cool. I liked the effort put into it.
That was nice. And it was only in for like maybe a minute or less. Yeah. So definitely a lot of work to make that look nice.
But that's where my notes end. Unfortunately, okay. It's not the most riveting action anime
No.
in terms of plot or in terms of action. Essentially, for anyone who's interested or, you know, is curious, it's basically this low-tier hero goes into a dungeon, finds a new cave, and gets killed by a dragon. Wakes up, I think it's like a day later or so. And he's a skeleton. But he has like all of his, you know, memories and his cognitive abilities there. So, you know, he starts, you know, leveling up by killing other, skeletons and, you know, evolving to the point where he can actually be in public. And that's kind of where we're at right now. That's about the gist of it.
Mm.
There's not too much more to the story. It's more just, you know, as of right now, just him trying to level himself up.
Mm-hmm. To Pokemon evolution himself back into a human looking thing.
Yeah.
I like that he sees a hole in the wall and his immediate thought is like, that must be a secret passage. And it's not, oh, something made this hole in the wall that wasn't there before. Mm. Like, he acknowledges that he explores that area more than anyone else. And he's like, oh, secret passage opened up. Even though it's like, you know, all crumbled and shit. Just it's
clearly, destroyed on purpose.
Yeah. I found it kind of funny that he doesn't even think twice about the implications of killing like another undead, because if he's conscious, what's to say that the other undead also aren't conscious? Like in that moment,
I thought that was for sure where it was like that was going to happen when the first skeleton enemy came up,
right?
Because like it was reaching out to him and everything. I thought it was like, okay, so it's going to be like this whole, you know, don't kill me, I'm also one of you kind of thing. But, hey, you know, the enemy skeleton attacked first, so...
True. I also... I told this to my buddy. The girl, not the adventurer, but the scientist lady... She might be best girl of the season, just design wise, and maybe personality wise too. So far, from what I've seen, there's not a lot of picks yet. To be fair, I've only watched 4 shows, but hey, scientist MILFs, who am I to say no?
I don't know, man. I love me an FBI agent. Purple eyes, black hair.
No, she's cute too. She's cute too. Ooh. A lot of spunk to that one.
Yep.
But I like my women in lab coats, you know. Claudia, if you're listening, I'm sorry. Anyways, all right. If let's only go ahead.
Watched Steins Gate, you know.
All right. It's on the list. I'm making good progress on my end of year resolution. I just watched the first Evangelion movie that isn't Death and Rebirth, because that's technically a recap movie. Let me tell you guys, Evangelion is batshit insane. I don't think I understood what I watched, to be honest. I also think Evangelion probably scarred a lot of people growing up. It's that kind of imagery where you're just like, whoa, what the fuck am I looking at? But anyways, let's go ahead and move on to the 7th time loop. The villainess enjoys a carefree life married to her worst enemy. Can I just say it straight off, like, I don't know if this show knows what a villainess is.
It does not.
Because, I mean, they never refer to it in the show as one, but...
But it's funny, my notes, it's best villainous show in a hot minute.
What was it? What were your notes?
Well, okay, so... Yes, we've established that she's not a villainess, like, at all.
But my first note is literally best villainous show in a hot minute.
Oh! Okay, that's funny. That's funny, yeah. And it, all it took was for her not to be a villainess. I'll start here. All right, clearly a shoujo. Yes. Claudia loves this. Oh my god, dude! When the tan merchant guy, who is admittedly a very handsome fellow, appeared, she the squeals. Oh god, the squeals. I was just like, oh, it's gonna be like this, huh? For 12 episodes. So no matter what the outcome of this, of pass or fail, I will be watching this with yeah. Claudia. Yeah, yeah. So just a note out there. So, but what did you think, Cade?
Man, I really liked where it was headed. In the beginning, the first episode, I think, is its strongest point. But then it turned into, let me give it a little context first. Basically, she's died a bunch, right? And each life that she's lived, she's chased something different. So one life, she became a soldier. One life, she became an herbalist. One life, she,
traveling merchant,
yeah. And so, like, she's explored all of her interests, right? And she still has more. And what I thought this was going to be, based on everything that it built up to, was, I guess, I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting, like, a romance. You know,
say you were expecting sauce, all right, and you didn't get the sauce you wanted.
It's a different kind of sauce. He was expecting Alfredo, and he got marinara.
You know what it is.
I think I was okay with the romance. I think I was expecting it and everything. I think what it was is that it took characters that I think were very interesting to that romance part. I thought they could be very interesting. It was the prince, right? And the girl that kind of betrayed her for the prince. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I thought the sister or something.
If they were gonna go for like this whole romance thing, right? I thought that would be perfect, you know? A little drama mixed in there. Like, Prince is always trying to, like, stab her in the back. And, you know, the girl is, you know, like, this kind of foil to the emperor. I don't know. I just thought, you know, hey, that would be kind of cool. I thought that's kind of where it was headed.
But Cade didn't have the glowing eyes, Cade. His eyes didn't glow like Gojo's. That was
You're right. you're right. No, but I don't know. Like, I'm not upset where it is right now. I think I was just hoping more adventure, I think, is what I was looking for, because everything she'd done before that was very adventurous.
Yeah.
You know, she had crossed the seven seas as a traveling merchant. She had fought, you know, for her country in this war. She had traveled far and wide for herbs and, you know, to learn to be a better doctor. I just figured it would be kind of that vibe, you know.
It would have been cool for me, I think, if her lives were a little bit more explore. I have a feeling there's probably going to be a bunch of flashbacks to her previous lives.
For sure.
But I was so interested in, like, her previous six lives that I was like, you know, when in episode one they like start establishing like the main plot, I'm like, oh, use a little more of the like herbalist stuff and the traveling merchants, like that always looked really cool. I really liked the interplay between the main character lady and the prince. They have even more so than like a show like Ray Liana, there's like a combativeness that comes to it, because she's on guard because this dude has killed her literally once himself, and then he's implied to have been the cause of her other deaths. So she kind of hates this guy at first. But then they do like, you know, there's a lot of banter, you know, and he starts being like, oh man,
you've never failed to intrigue me. That's essentially what it is. You know, he looks at her as like a plaything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I vibe with that, you know, I always like that kind of shit.
I just kind of realized what I said. Yes, treat women like your playthings, please.
But only if you're a handsome prince with glowing Gojo eyes.
That's right.
Right. That's the only requisite.
An emperor. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I'm not upset with this anime. I actually
kind of enjoyed it.
Okay.
It's just there's a lot of fluff.
I think there's a lot of stuff that I don't enjoy to compensate for the stuff that I do enjoy.
It's for example, the shoujo like fluff.
The thing is like I think my favorite parts are when the prince and her are interacting.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But like they don't interact much. You know?
And that brings my other thing. Speaking of things that I really enjoyed, and you know, this is one of the moments where they were actually together. When they went to the party, the engagement
party.
The dance.
Yes.
Oh, it's very well animated. Yeah. And their battle to be the lead was very I love that.
Yeah, it was really sick. That I like that was legitimately like it one of the best animations of dance in a non-dancing anime that I've seen.
For sure.
And then comes like so she kind of loses the battle where he's like clearly dominant in the dance. But she's able to kind of glean information that she wouldn't have otherwise. Because she's like, oh, you favor your other shoulder because you injured that one. And she recalls in her previous life when she was able to get like a very slight cut on him with her sword was on that shoulder as well. So she was able to kind of like be like, oh, well, what happened here, mister? I know something. I know something that other people don't know about you. That interplay I thought was super cool. It did it. Yeah, they don't interact that much. There was a huge portion of episode 2 and 3 dedicated to the maids when she's like trying when she blends in with the maids so that she can like pick and choose who's staying at her villa and what roles in leadership those maids would play. I mean, it was interesting, but it's not what I'm watching the anime for, you know what I mean? I'm watching the anime to watch this girl do stuff. I don't know what else to say.
And speaking of the maid arc, if you would.
Yeah.
This is my last comment that I wrote down. Monologues preaching messages are bland and mildly annoying.
I agree.
And then this was in episode one, and with the maid.
Mm-hmm.
So episode one was her kind of like monologuing at the girl who kind of betrayed her, saying, "Hey, you know, focus on yourself. You know, you're not just there to marry him. You know, you have more worth," that kind of thing. And then the maid, you know, being like, "You don't, you had more privileges, you know, growing up than they do, but you're, you know, treating them worse," you know, that kind of thing.
I just, when they start monologuing about, you know, morality, right?
Yeah.
And like, you know, it just, I don't know if it's been done so many times that I've just become accustomed to it, or, you know, not accustomed, sorry, I've just been exposed to it so much that it's become annoying, or I don't know. But yeah, at this point I'm just like, as soon as I start hearing them start, you know, doing their monologue, I actually tune out. I wouldn't be able to tell you any of the lines from what she said. I vaguely picked up, you know, what she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't there for it. Everything, I was paying very close attention to everything before and everything after.
Yeah.
But as soon as she started monologuing about that, I was gone.
Yeah.
So
it definitely could have been framed a little better. I wouldn't go so far as to say it was like cringy, but it was definitely like preachy. It was very like, very preachy. You know, and it's not like it wasn't making like a grand point, you know. Maybe in the scheme of like what was happening in that moment, it was grand, but like for the audience, you know, it's not anything particularly new. And there was like, you know, dedicated minutes to these dialogues. So I know what you mean, Cade. I definitely felt that way as well. A little annoyed at the long monologues. I like the outcome of the maid arc, you know, and she makes some good points, but
yeah. I was actually pretty happy with the way it turned out, because honestly, I was, as soon as I noticed that the redhead was like kind of like the villain, right? I was like, oh no, dude, she's cute and she's gonna get cut. She's gonna get cut. We're never gonna see her again. But you know, she gets to stay on, so I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Love a good redhead.
I'm not gonna lie to you, because at that moment, when she's like kind of low key tearing her down, being like, "Hey, you're a little piece of shit, you cute little redhead," I was like, "Oh, does the title imply she's gonna turn into a villainess and she's like getting a little like revenge over here?" And like, no, that's not at all. That's not at all. The title implies that whoever wrote this story doesn't know what a villainess is. Or I don't know what a villainess is. Maybe I don't know. I thought I knew what villainesses were. I thought they were like people who were bad, who in one way or another, whether through like being replaced, go through like a reformation of sorts.
If right? I had to guess, just based on the three episodes that we've watched so far, I think it's from the perspective of her original country.
Maybe.
I think once she goes over to their side, marries him, she's gonna become a villain to, you know, her people, essentially.
Maybe.
But that's just a guess.
Who knows? That's actually, I had not considered that angle at all. That's a good point. Yeah. Even before she marries, you could kind of consider her one. Like, she's not, I wouldn't consider her one, but to her people, she's already getting framed. Like the prince is talking about crimes that she's committed. She's like, "What the fuck are you talking about, dude? I haven't done shit."
Mm.
All right. So in that respect, she's kind of being framed as a villainess. You know what? You know what, Kate? You're right. I think that's exactly what's happened.
Who knows? We're only three episodes in. Maybe she does become a villain. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe Prince, maybe the prince, you know, corrupts her.
Oh. I doubt it, but starts it would be cool. Made,
like their playthings.
It would be cool to actually have like a villain story. It's okay. The bigger question, pass or fail.
Oh man. I just don't know if I'm invested enough to keep going. I'm gonna say fail.
Okay.
I'm not completely sold on it. If I get the desire later in the season to keep watching, I'll change my mind. Because if it stays around in my head,
if it sticks with you, exactly, yeah.
Then it's worth watching.
Mm.
But yeah, if it doesn't stick around in my head, if I forget that it exists, then yeah, it's a fail.
For sure. Well, I can say this for audience members who maybe wanted us to cover this. Claudia definitely is interested in covering it on our segment. So no matter what, I think there will be at least a perspective on this show. Goddamn, this woman loves this show.
There aren't even multiple guys yet. What the heck?
There's the merchant guy.
I guess.
Dude, she loves the merchant guy. I'm like, he's going to be on for not even that much.
Yeah.
Angel, do you plan on watching this with your girl?
Yeah, I do plan on watching it.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
If I had to say, I'd probably say it's a pass. I haven't even watched it.
Well, odd, but okay. All right, let's go ahead and move on to what I think could easily be described as the most anticipated show of the season, Solo Leveling. And this time, I know for a fact, it's been me and Cade mostly these last three episodes, Tanner chiming in here and there. But I know for a fact Tanner and Angel have also watched this show, with Angel also being a manhwa enthusiast.
Cade has also read it.
Yes.
And Cade has also read it. Perfect. So I want to go and hear from the fresh perspective first. Tanner, you just watched it within the hour.
Yes.
What are your thoughts about the most anticipated show this season?
I like it. I think it was good. Boom. I mean, I've heard all of the fucking talk about it, and I've heard plenty from people who have also read it. And I feel like I've heard a lot that saying, like, oh, the show doesn't, like, live up to the manhwa necessarily.
Mm.
But as someone who knows literally nothing about the manhwa, I've never read it. And no one, like, even the people that I've talked to about it, like, who have read it, they haven't, like, described it to me or anything.
Mm-hmm.
They've just given their opinion. I think it's a good show. I'm enthused by it. I want to watch more of it after the first three episodes. Yeah, I have zero hot takes here. I think it's, you know, it was anticipated for a reason. I like the concept. The sort of, like, you know, it's like a mixture of two different, like, sort of genres almost. Because there's, like, you know, the sort of, like, semi-fantasy aspect, right?
Mm.
Where it's like the real world, but with the addition of, all of a sudden, like, portals to dungeons, at least, is what it is in the show, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden people have powers, right? But then it's like, but there's one guy who's it turns into a video game, right?
only the one
that we know of so far. I don't know, I kind of enjoy it. I don't watch many shows that are like that, at least, so I don't know, maybe it's been around before. But
and it's like I enjoyed Solo Leveling.
He's a solo leveler enjoyer.
Yeah, he is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, I enjoyed it. Would you not agree, Angel?
Yeah, I enjoyed.
Cade, what are your overall thoughts on Solo Leveling?
So I watched this one before I started taking notes, unfortunately. So I don't have any notes to go off of. One thing that did stick out to me, and Angel, I wanted to talk about it with you as well. They chose the perfect voice actor for this.
Oh, yes, absolutely. His voice actor goes, he deserves, like, a Grammy or something. I don't know.
A Grammy?
Damn.
A Grammy. I'm not sure how far you guys have gone into the show, but, man, that guy, he needs, like, a throat replacement.
Needs a raise.
He's in the very first, like, fucking alternate dimension weird dungeon thingy. Like, he just got his powers, right? And he's used the key to go in the very first dungeon.
Mm-hmm. But that's where the show ends, the three episodes end. I mean,
yeah.
But not just for his performance. I think they chose him, for his range too.
Wait. Oh, I see.
You see
how
what
far
I'm
are
saying?
You, Kate?
I don't.
Are you?
I'm not. I'm not.
Are you caught up?
I'm not caught up.
You're not caught up.
But I've read
Angel.
The
are
the
you
manga.
Caught up?
Okay, yes, so, I am caught up. I know where episode 3 ends, so don't worry.
I know that I'm going to try not to spoil anything.
And don't say it, Kate. Don't say it.
You're not going to try to spoil anything
past
episode
3,
right?
All I'm saying is that...
I understand what you mean by voice range. I understand. That's all you need to say.
You know when, like, in middle school... when kids start thinking that they're like hot shit and they start like lowering their voices and like, you know, trying to sound cool and that kind of thing. That's essentially the same for this. So he starts off, you know, weak, and he kind of has this like kind of higher pitch, weak sounding voice. Like he sounds like a weak character.
He does.
Then as, you know, he gets stronger, he sounds more like a strong character. And the range that this guy has, I think, is just right. I think he can hit the weak sounding voice and hit the strong sounding voice, I think, just fine.
I don't know about you, but since you've already gone a couple episodes in, apparently, I thought that transition was like a water ball to the face, you know?
I haven't.
You're only up to episode 3?
Maybe episode 4. I don't remember.
Episode three, I ended in the dungeon with the key.
I ended when he defeats the boss of the dungeon.
Okay.
That is after episode.
That is 4. Okay. That is 4.
Okay. That is 4? Okay.
Yeah.
I would want your opinions after episode... I want your opinions on episode 5 then, Kate, if that's... okay. If that's how you feel.
I mean, I think it's great there. From a manhwa reader perspective, I think
they did just fine. The problem with trying to compare the two is that when you're reading, you're always using a little bit of your imagination.
Oh, totally.
And so a little bit gets lost when you translate into an anime. Because it'll never live up to your expectations, right? Because each person is a little bit different. However, I think they did the best that they could. And I think they nailed it as best as they could. I don't have any complaints. I know other people are saying things like there's a lot of dialogue, you know, like from the narrator's perspective. I don't think it was that egregious. I know in the manhwa, it's the world is kind of explained through him, through the main character and maybe surrounding characters as well. They don't do that in the anime, but I don't think that's a crime. You know, like as long as you're not like overdoing it, I think it's fine. You know, and I don't feel like they overdid it. So, the animation is great. The art, of course, is great because it, you know,
lives up to the manhwa. So, yeah, I don't have any complaints. I love this one.
Well, unlike Cade, I have a ton of complaints. I'm not going to lie to you, boys.
Did you read it? No, I did not read it.
I only read the part where he, with the statues. Because Wally made me read it.
He like read up episode
a year
two.
And a half ago. Yeah.
So the finish, the finishing point where he wakes up in the hospital, you got
all
the way
to not
there?
Read to that point. Yeah.
No, he got to the statues. That's it.
Yeah. Got to the statues. They did the evil smile thing, and I watched nothing else. I read nothing else, I should say. Gotcha. I had forgotten that I read it because while I was watching it, I was like, this is the one with the statues. That's right. Yeah. It just triggered a memory in me that I didn't know I had. So first and foremost, look, it's a very hyped anime, and I'm not gonna lie to you. I was expecting a little extra sauce in there that I don't think they've hit on yet. Now, granted, it's three episodes. You know, they're building up a lot, right? But I just feel like the pacing was like incredibly slow. Episode one,
and then episode three
as well.
I can agree with that actually.
Episode two was like the highlight of the three episodes for me. The statues are fucking awesome.
Well,
do you
sure.
know what I mean?
Sure.
I think it's the exposition, the entire right? first chapter. Correct me if I'm wrong, Angel. The entire first chapter. Is covered in the first two episodes?
I think so. Something like that.
Okay. So if they could have condensed, but I don't want them to condense. That's the problem. Maybe if they'd done like an hour-long special for the first
episode.
Oh,
that would have been nice.
Yeah.
That would have been nice. Angel, you were telling me that when they were premiering it.
At like premieres and stuff for Solo, they were doing two episode premiere.
Yeah, I feel like they should have done that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, that would have helped with the pacing issues a little bit, maybe.
A little bit.
But I don't think
you're like, in for a treat for episode four.
Oh, for sure. I've only heard good things past episode
so
three.
So here's what I say. As someone who did not start watching it week one, it was fine. There was no problem with the pacing.
I mean, I binged all three episodes.
There was no problem. Personally, I didn't think it was slow. I mean, I've watched shows that I felt were slow, and this was not one of them.
You didn't feel like the third episode was kind of like
it's
lagging a little bit?
I feel like the first arc was episodes one and two. You know, usually the first arc of a show is the first three, which is why we do this whole three episode thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, honestly, the first arc is short.
It's just one and two.
It's just two episodes. And then you're starting the next one on episode three. And with that in mind, I don't really see anything necessarily wrong. If anything, I feel like they could have spent more time with arc one. But from what it sounds like, it's just following the manhwa pretty much page for page. So...
Look, they do a lot of exposition, like Cade was saying. I mean, it wasn't your complaint. You were saying like other people were complaining, right, Cade?
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm always on the side of like tell the like what your world is through the actions and events of your story. I always think that's the cleanest. It makes your pacing feel organic. I'm not huge on exposition personally. Secondly, they spend a lot of time on characters who just end up not being important in that, you know what I mean? Like there's the guy and they're talking about like his kids and stuff. And there's the really cool lady who doesn't like, she shows up for like 5 seconds and kicks someone on a motorcycle and then she's gone. Like, I think It was a cool scene. It was a cool scene, but I don't know if it needed to be.
I actually enjoy that they're introducing characters earlier than they did in the manhwa. For like some introductory exposition, I guess.
I guess so.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I actually enjoyed that. And you're going to keep seeing more of that.
I feel like...
I don't think it has to be a one-for-one from the model.
Do you think by the time that she does show up for her arc, do you think the audience will have kind of forgotten that she was in the first three episodes?
Absolutely not. It's like the most replayed part of the trailer. What are you talking about?
The trailer. Who's talking about the trailer?
Me.
Oh my god. Big surprise. Attractive Korean lady is the most replayed part of the trailer. I get what you're saying, Kevin. For me, I just feel like episode 2 should have ended with the earthworm when he goes into the other world and he like starts, because then episode
that
3
would be
starts
so rushed.
No. Cut the fat.
There's hardly any fat.
There's a lot. I was honestly, personally, I was kind of bored episode 1. I was just straight up.
Episode 1! I'm bored most episode 1.
This is supposed to be one of the best, and this is one of the most anticipated anime, at the very least, one of the most anticipated adaptations in anime history.
Well, the other thing, this is one complaint that I actually did have. The manhwa opens with the ending of episode 2.
Mm.
It catches you by showing you that.
Yeah, I feel like
if they had done that, maybe it wouldn't have been so rough, you know?
I don't think it was rough. I do. Now, look, episode
Anna,
2.
I agree with you. These guys are just scrubs.
Thank you, Kate. Or thank you, Angel.
Thank you. I don't agree with you anymore.
It was pretty good. Episode 2 was very, very good. It's hard for me to say that. I don't think you could have condensed episode 2. But I think if you condense episode 1 a little bit, you know, cut episode 2 in half, let's show half of that in episode 1, beginning episode 2, and then do like the punishment thing at the end of episode 2, that would have fixed it for me. I think it would have been fine.
I think it was perfectly paced.
No. I agree to disagree.
I think.
And my second.
No, I disagree.
I disagree.
I think if they had spent more time on those minor characters that ended up dying in the second episode, they had spent more time exploring their characters, kind of getting you to, you know, enjoy them, you know, laugh along with them, that kind of thing. Their deaths would have had more impact. You would have liked them more, right? And then if they had combined, you know, the first two episodes into an hour-long special, I think none of those, like, issues would have come, right?
I agree.
I think it was an error on the anime...
Watch characters and get to know characters that die in the first... two episodes or three episodes or whatever you want to make it.
Well, like, that's why they were there. Like that's I think that's what Kevin's saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think if
well, that's one way to fix the issue.
Yeah, I think that's what Kevin's saying. For if he wants to condense, right, and get rid of some fluff, I feel like they should have gotten rid of that. Right, the guy with the kid. You know, he's like, oh, I gotta, you know, I'm having another kid. I gotta, you know, go back into this dungeon so I can make more money. Just cut that out, right? I mean, if you're not going to spend enough time to, you know, make the audience care about him, why is his death, you know, important?
Because I feel like the whole thing, it all relates to the, I don't know who the guy is, the fucking guy who's like, most important of all, be afraid, right? Like, I feel like the whole scene with all of that happened, that I guess at that point has, or... No. It's in the process of happening, I think, or something like that. I don't remember exactly specifically, but I remember it was the guy who was like, oh, as a hunter, most importantly of all, be afraid, right? And it just goes to show, like, that these characters are being overly confident or ignorant or however you want to call it.
Totally. And I wouldn't cut that, Tanner, but I would cut the part where the guy's like, oh, my kid, I can't fucking wait to see him. And, oh, who's that guy? Oh, yeah, he's the fucking weakest guy. Oh, since you've been gone, he's the weakest fucking guy. And then 5 minutes later, I'm the weakest fucking guy. I have to fucking scrap my way.
It wasn't long enough and it wasn't short enough.
Yeah.
It was the wrong amount of time.
No, I entirely disagree.
It didn't explore the characters enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it didn't take them out.
But they're not main characters.
But they didn't take them out completely. You know?
But they're not main characters. They're characters who are there for the plot. And the plot is traumatizing the main characters.
Does he even know about the kid? I don't think he does. That was for us. The main character's not being traumatized because that dude's son doesn't have a father anymore. He's traumatized because limbs are flying left and right.
Has to be part of the main character cast.
But does she know?
Yes, I'm fairly certain it's said out loud.
And also, the party. they make it very apparent that she's already like pretty afraid. She's a B tier mate or healer or whatever in doing D tier raids. Like the exposition's already there for her to be like an afraid person. You know what I mean? I just don't know. Like, there's a lot of telling and not showing.
But do you think it would have been better without? I don't think it would have made a difference. I think it would have been better
because I would have been less bored in the first.
Why does having that make you more bored? I don't see how that correlates.
Because okay, this is how it correlates. The thing about the MC being really weak, it's overdone in the first episode. It just is. All right. Not only do you have the party exposition about it, you have him with a bunch of flashbacks about it as well. One of those needs to get cut.
A bunch of flashbacks about.
Like, you know, when he's like backstabbing the goblin in a flashback, and then I think he does it in the dungeon as well. Like, one of those things needs to get cut for me. Like, you don't need to tell me 3 or 4 times that he's weak. Just show me he's weak and do it once or twice at most. 3 or 4 times, once through exposition, I don't need, personally. It did not add to my, like, any sort of feeling I had for the protagonist. You know what I mean? It's okay, he's weak. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's still weak. Yeah, there he goes again, reminiscing about that one time he had to like hide in the shrubs. Yeah, dude, I just did not like it.
Here's what I say. If you can watch Naruto, which I know you have.
Which I have.
Like, yeah, and yes, one of the biggest criticisms of Naruto is the swing flashback, right?
And it's also one of my first anime. To be fair, like, I didn't know what I liked back then either.
But I'm sure you liked Naruto.
And even then, when I would be binging, as soon as a flashback came in, I'm fast forwarding that bitch. You know,
you
like
fast forwarded?
Absolutely. It was my first anime. I was already like, I don't need to see the scene that I just watched last episode. Look,
that's fair. In Naruto, when they show literally that scene 50 times.
Right, it's
1 hour of a show that they show maybe 4 flashbacks. 5 maximum.
Fine. But that's just one of the things I would have cut. Secondly.
If they continue it, I will agree with you, Kevin.
Sure. The whole part of this formula is to talk about the first 3 episodes. You know, that's all I can do is based on what's happening, right? Secondly, second point, completely separate from cutting the fat. I was not impressed with this animation whatsoever. I think the statues were super cool. I think that more or less comes down to art style. I mean, they did move very nicely. But when it came to like the secret dungeon he had to open with the key, I thought that was lame. I thought the initial fight in that room, super lame. Could have been a generic anime, personally.
I think we've been spoiled by MAPPA.
I'm not even including. I am not including MAPPA.
I'm not even saying you. I'm saying we. I think everyone has been spoiled by MAPPA animation.
If anything, if anything, I'm comparing this A1 Pictures production to other A1 Pictures productions that move and look a lot better. I think, and again, it's early. He's weak. As the show won't let us forget, he's very, very weak. There's not a whole lot of fighting to do. But even if there's not a whole lot of fighting, I feel like the monsters could have been moving a little bit more interestingly, like a little bit more appealingly. I thought it was super basic. The earthworm scene, kind of basic. It really was just the statues for me. And, you know, that's sure. It. That's all for me.
I'm not saying it was like incredibly animated by any means.
I think that you can draw more towards the art style than you could the animation. Because that scene was fucking awesome in the manhwa as well. So I don't know, guys. Like, look. Before we keep going, I know I'm harping on it. I enjoyed what I watched. But did I enjoy it to the level of hype that was out? Not even close. In these first three episodes, not even close.
No. Sure. There was a lot of hype around it. Absolutely. But I feel like...
You feel like it really wasn't egregious enough.
I feel like they didn't... Or maybe I just wasn't part of the hype or something. I'm not a manhwa reader. Like, and when it comes to even manga, I pick and choose. I don't read that much. But, like, from my perspective, like, yes, I heard a lot, but it wasn't like... even on Twitter, I didn't even really notice, like, Twitter going crazy or anything. But maybe I'm just in a different internet circle.
Yeah, who knows? All I know is there definitely was a lot about this anime, you know, being propped up. And it's unfortunate. Like, look, if this was in the 10th spot, I think it would be above average. You know what I mean? But it's at the 2 spot from the list that we're looking at, week 4. From episode 3, do I think it's a 2 spot show? Nah.
Yeah, maybe not. I could attribute that to the hype. Sure. I can agree with you there.
So that's kind of where I'm looking at it. You know what I mean? Like, okay, does this show deserve to be number 2 based on the first 3 episodes? No. But in all fairness, the week 4 list goes up to like episode 5, I want to say.
It so goes people up to voting 4 or 5. If it goes to episode 4, I think it's reasonable.
For 2 to be at 2? I don't see it.
Or to be higher up than the 10 in your case. You know?
Sure.
It deserves over 10. Number 2, debatable.
Okay. That's where I'm coming at it from.
Would you like to know its current position?
Yeah, what's it at right now?
3.
A little surprised, not gonna lie. Especially since, like, I heard that the next couple episodes are really good. What, 7th time loop move ahead of it?
It did.
That's wild. All right, cool. Well, all right. All right. Well, adding trends is not the end-all, be-all.
No, either, sure, but it gives you a perspective on, like, what the general trend of shows is, right?
Well, like, yeah. again, I don't mean to be a negative Nancy, all right? But
no.
There was a part of me that had like a little bit of a, I think it's actually the right word, a little bit of shock. And I'm like, oh, this is what has been hyped up, you know? Like, again, there's more to come, obviously. And it's A1 Pictures. But also, it's A1 Pictures. They are the kings of making really, really good anime and also just making things incredibly mid. I'm looking at you, Asterisk War. Don't think I have forgotten. You know, a lot of people would say SAO, you know, a little bit in that mid category. Yeah, I don't know. It's an obvious pass, you know. But I do think there was room for improvement the first three episodes for me.
And that's your opinion.
And that's my opinion.
And I will say you're entitled to your opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Enter. It looks like you and I have a closer opinion.
So I was honestly surprised to hear. Tanner,
you and me are on the same side of the river, you know?
I was surprised to hear someone agree with me, honestly. I was expecting more critique from the manhwa readers.
No, I mean, like I said, like I think the people who have complaints are valid. But I personally didn't have any issues with it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess like I'm in the middle of the river, I guess.
Wait, Kate's just swimming in it.
Wait,
you
Kate,
know.
Swimming.
He's, you know, he's white water swim. Rafting.
Yeah.
Good thing it's not Angel who's in the middle of the river.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Angel would drown.
But yeah, I definitely see where people are coming from. And of course, you know, I had my hangups, but I didn't find them. I didn't feel like they soured anything. So,
right. And I would just like to make something perfectly clear. All right. I'm not an adaptation, like a purist. You know, I actually like it when anime studios take creative liberties and stuff. So if anyone wants to come at me for that. I don't even remember reading the manhwa, the bits that I read. All right, so don't be pointing fingers like that, okay?
Bro, my fingers are pointed, all 10 of them.
Shit, I'm about to give you 2 high fives.
Nice,
thank you.
It's all I wanted.
It's all I've been asking for.
That's
this
all
whole
I've
time.
Ever wanted, Kevin.
Anyway, sorry. Official votes from the gallery. Pass.
Pass.
Yas.
Angel. Pass, and a yas. All right. I think that is a good place to call it here, boys. Hey. I promise you, I don't have hot takes to have hot takes. I just have opinions. Okay. Uh-huh. It happens. You know what? That's what we wanted to call the show, but I thought it was too close to a trash taste.
Trash opinions.
There was also the garbage power hour, and I kid. All right, boys. Let's recap what we've done, what we the crew were able to do today. All right, Sasaki and Peeps, hey, it's in the penalty box. All right, we will revisit its sentence next week. Episodes 2 and 3 will be watched by me and Kate specifically. Tanner, if you want to join us, Angel, you know, yeah, you can help out. Although, admittedly, that's like 2 hours of anime for one show.
That is a long time.
not going to lie to you. Undead. Unwanted Adventurer, you know, it was I will admit, did better than I thought it would, but it's a fail. Seventh Time Loop, I think it's an official fail, but it will be covered on the other segment podcast. And Solo Leveling, pass. a unanimous pass. The only show of these four to make it through. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a successful mid-season review. Let's go ahead and talk about what we're going to watch next week. Next week. And again, these are based off the rankings of week four.
Yes!
We are watching Metallic Rouge, The Foolish Angel Dances with the Devil. Those are 18 and 17, respectively. Gushing Over Magical Girls and A Sign of Affection.
Yes! Those,
yeah, okay. Jesus Christ. This guy. And then after that, we have, looks like about five more shows to watch, if I'm counting correctly. Yeah. So we're making a pretty good headway into this list. Any final words that we want to say before we say goodbye, boys?
Watch A Sign of Affection.
All right. You don't want to be spoiled on A Sign of Affection. Tanner promises he will spoil everything.
I'm not afraid.
Matter of fact, will there be some episode 4 talk accidentally? Only time will tell.
Well, let's just say it's the only show I've ever actually watched as it releases.
Ever.
Ever.
In the history of his...
of my anime career, yes. It's the only show that I have like waited for release day to watch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Interesting. I feel like I did not know that before, Tanner. Like, I know you haven't done it recently, but I didn't know you had never done it.
I have never watched a show as it releases. Usually what I do is I get too far behind and then I just wait until the whole thing's out. And then watch it. This shows, you know, never mind. Al will hold my opinions for the next episode.
Tanner is like a Chipotle burrito, absolutely bursting at the seams, waiting to get out, waiting to sauce on you.
Y'all will be sauced in the next episode.
So let's go ahead and wrap this up, boys. This has been the Any Anime Podcast. Tanner, if somebody were to, you know, want to lodge a complaint for the soliloquy of a rant that I had.
Oh, yes. Well, if you would like to argue with Kevin as I argued with Kevin.
I will respond in whatever tone you come at me with. I will respond in turn.
And that's what's fun about it. But, you know, in like, would you, if you would so like to speak to him, you can find us on Twitter at Any Anime Pod. Or if you would like to long form write an essay to Kevin about what you hate about his opinion.
Doesn't have to be an essay.
About how much you love his opinion. You can email us at anyanimepodcast@gmail.com. That's right, anyanimepodcast@gmail.com.
Lovely as ever, Tanner. Well done.
Thank
you. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Garbage Power Hour. Sorry, the Anime Podcast. Bringing you the freshest, dopest Wizardly content. Who wants to do the howl this week? You know what? Last week, it was New Jersey, all right? How do you follow up with New Jersey? You go to Mexico. So, Cade...
No, do you as fucking literally done? Oh, that's a trap there.
I see what you're trying to do. I want you to do your best Speedy Gonzalez impression. I'm just kidding.
Unfortunately, what does Speedy Gonzalez sound like?
You almost got me there. You almost got me there, Tanner. You almost got me being reductive for a second. I was about to do it.
Here's the problem. I actually don't know.
Oh. He sounds like if you were to to grab someone who was Mexican-American and ask them to do a pretty a pretty high-pitched Mexican accent. But, you know, they're Mexican-American, so they already have, like, the bases. Like, they don't have, like, an accent when they do it. You know what I mean? It sounds kind of authentic. It's like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think that was a good way of describing Speedy Gonzalez. No. I was going to say, Angel, if you could give us your best any enemy away, that'd be great. I just noticed he's idle. So I don't even know if he's here.
He was just here, was he not?
I think he left specifically for this purpose.
Have we been talking to ourselves this whole time?
Are you
actually
real?
when I edit this podcast, Angel's file is going to be missing. But it'll honestly feel like nothing changed.
You're right.
Because he hardly talks, this guy.
Bro, might as well just
Oh my word. All right, he just left the call.
Guys.
No, I moved him out of the call.
You moved him out.
Oh. You left.
I thought he did that on purpose.
Wow, I know he's been listening this whole time because he just rejoined.
All right, Angel, get in here. Give us your howl.
I thought the away would hide it.
You thought.
Next time I'll have to do the do not disturb.
Do not disturb.
If anything, would that even help?
Bro, I will call Angel on my phone, put him on speaker up to the microphone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Come on, Angel. Do a little howl for us.
All right. The outro, right?
Yeah, the outro howl.
I got you, boys.
Anyway.
Hey, I like that. That was really good. Nothing like Speedy Gonzalez, but, you know, it was good. It was good.
We're supposed to have a little tiredness in the voice for...
I can hear the strain.
Yeah, yeah. No, fair. I still got to edit this motherfucker. Angel, I got a quick question. Have you ever watched Speedy Gonzalez on, like, the Looney Tunes, or is that past you?
Never watched it.
Okay. Damn, missing out.